أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، وثانك الله ما شاء الله for bringing us together again to continue our studies in Bulughul Maram. In our last class, we were in Kitab al-Janaiz, and the last hadith we discussed was the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas talking about a man who fell down from his camel during the Hajj on Arafat ground, and his camel stepped on his neck, and the Prophet commanded the companions to wash him with water and feed it at his lotus feet. The Wakafinumu is of being, and that they should shroud him in his two garments. Okay, we explained that the reason for that was that in the continuation of the hadith, the Prophet said, فَإِنَّهُ يُبْعَثُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مُلَدِّيًا. He will be resurrected to in the Talbiya, and we explained in detail what that entails. So we shall continue from there, inshallah. The next hadith is the hadith of Aisha. He said, وَعَنْ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَنْهَا قَالَتْ لما أرادوا غسل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قالوا والله ما ندري نجرد رسول الله كما نجرد موتانا أم لا. الحديث. No, this hadith is talking about the condition the companions found themselves when they were trying to prepare the body of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم after his death. Alright. He said, "Lama aradu ghasla nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." When they wanted to wash the Prophet after his death, qalu, they said, "Wallahi, by Allah, ma nadri, we don't know. Nujarridu Rasulullah, should we remove the clothes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kama nujarridu mawtana, the way we remove the clothes of those who die among us, amla, or no, or not." Meaning, they said, you know, definitely if you want to wash dead body, you have to remove his clothes. So because of the position of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of his honor and dignity, the companions felt, how are we going to remove his clothes and leave him naked? Alright, so they did not know what to do. Ibn Hajar did not bring the hadith to the end. Okay, otherwise, if you go back to Abu Dawud, you will see the hadith to the end, where he narrated that when they were contemplating on whether to remove the Prophet's clothes or to wash him like that with his clothes on, all of a sudden, all of them fell asleep. Alright, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to sleep off. And when they slept off, they dozed off, and then all of a sudden, all of them had a voice. They didn't know where that voice was coming from. They had a voice telling them, Iqsilu Rasulullah wa alayhi siyabuhu. They just had a voice like that telling them, wash the Prophet of Islam while his clothes are still on him. Okay? And they woke up after that. And all of them had the voice. Okay, those who washed the Prophet of Islam, they were many. Among them was Ali bin Abi Talib. He was the one who was actually washing his body. He was assisted by Al-Abbas, okay, the uncle of the Prophet. Then Al-Fadl bin Abbas, who is the son of Al-Abbas, according to Ali, and also Usama bin Zayd, among other companions. These were the prominent ones among them. Okay, so they washed the Prophet with the clothes on. Okay, that was how they washed the Prophet. They were pouring water on him, and then the person washing, Ali bin Abi Talib, was not washing. He held something like a towel. He would put his hands under the clothes and was rubbing the body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So first of all, this hadith indicates that when we wash the dead, we have to remove his clothes. So that is a general treatment to everybody. Okay, this treatment is special for the Prophet alone. Otherwise, when we wash the dead, we remove his or her clothes. Okay, but when we do that, we do not expose the private part of the dead person. Okay, and that is why The way our people were used to washing the dead in the past, I don't know whether they are still doing that up to now, such that they would sit him down in a basin. That's what they used to do in the past. Alright, they would sit the dead, but they would come with a very big basin, then they would come with a stool inside the basin, then they would sit the dead body on the stool inside the basin, and you know, two or three people will hold the dead body sitting on it, and then they start pouring water and washing that dead body. If you want to wash the dead body that way, you will have to remove all the clothes. You understand? Thereby exposing his or her private part. And that is wrong. Alright? It is not allowed for you to look at the private part of another person. Okay? Except that of your wife. Or a wife looking at that of her husband. Otherwise, the Prophet said to Ali, Ishfaz awrataka illa min zawjatik. Prophet, preserve, protect your aura except from your wife. Okay, so that way, if we were to wash a dead body that way, we will end up exposing all of his private part. That's wrong. And that's why it's better to lie him down. Okay, you lie him down on a clean surface, maybe on a mat. Okay, on a clean surface, then you remove his clothes. But before then, we'll place something like a towel, okay, or a garment on the waist. Okay, covering the private part. If it's a woman, another towel on the chest, okay, to cover her chest. Okay, so that's how we wash the dead body. So we now remove the clothes, remove the towels and everything. Okay, then the person that is going to wash will definitely need to put on hand gloves. Okay, you put on hand gloves. So as you are washing, you wash the body, then you put your hand under the towel and wash the private part. Okay, so that you don't look at it. Alright, you don't look at it. It's wrong. Okay, it's wrong to look at the private part of a dead person. Now, so that is how we wash the dead body. Before washing the dead body, okay, let me take the next hadith. Then we'll now discuss in detail how to wash a dead person. The next hadith, one Ummu Atiyah radiallahu ta'ala anha qalat. Ummu Atiyah, may Allah be pleased with her, said, دخل علينا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ونحن نغسل ابنته. She said the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم entered upon us while we were washing his daughter. Okay. فقال, then the prophet said to them, so the women that were washing his daughter, اغسلنها ثلاثا, wash her three times, أو خمسا, or five times. أو أكثر من ذلك, or more than that. إن رأيتن ذلك, if you see that necessary. Okay, wash her three times or five times or more if you find that necessary. بماء وسدر, use water and سدر. سدر is lotus leaf. Okay, وجعلنا في الآخرة كافورا. Okay, then apply camphor in the last washing. You know camphor? Right. Apply camphor in the last washing. I will share an min kafur, or something small of camphor. She said, فَلَمَّا فَرَدْنَا أَذَنَّهُ. She said, when we finish washing her, أَذَنَّهُ, we inform the Prophet that we have finished washing his daughter. She said, فَأَلْقَى إِلَيْنَا حِقْوَهُ. So the Prophet gave us his lower garment. Hikwa is the izar. You know, a man uses the rida, that's the upper garment, then the wrapper is called izar. So izar is also called hikwa. Right? So the Prophet gave them one of his izar, that is his lower, his wrapper or lower garment. Okay? Faqala, and he said to them, ash'irnaha iyyahu. Right? Use it to wrap her. Use this garment to wrap her body. Mustafa alayhi. The hadith is agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. Wafi riwayat, in another narration, the Prophet said to them, idda'na bimayaminiha. When you wash her, start with the right side of her body. Okay? Wa mawadiya al-wudu minha. And also start with places of ablution, the part of ablution in her body. Wafi love in Bukhari, in another wedding of Bukhari for this same hadith, the Prophet said to them, Atiyah said, she said, فَضَفَرْنَا شَعْرَهَا ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُونَ. She said, we braided her hair. She's a woman, the person they are washing. So we braided her hair into three parts. فَأَلْقَيْنَاهُ خَلْفَهَا. And we made it fall to the back. Okay, they braided her hair straight to the back. Now, this hadith is actually one of the fundamental hadith teaching how to wash a dead body. Alright, how to wash a dead body. So we'll go back to the beginning of the hadith. Umm Atiyah is one of the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She is actually an Ansariyah. Ansariyah means people of Medina. Okay, she was among people of Medina. And she was an expert in terms of washing the dead body. So the extent that even after the death of the Prophet, the Tabi'un, those who came after the companions, used to go to her to learn how to wash a dead body. Okay, and this is very, very important in our contemporary society. We need to teach our women how to wash the dead. Alright, it happens a lot. You find out that when a person dies, especially when a woman dies, you need a woman to wash a woman. Okay, in Islam, a woman has to wash women. Men are to wash men. Alright, a man should not be allowed to wash a full-grown woman, and a woman should not be allowed to wash a full-grown man, except husband and wife. We shall come to that. Okay, there is a hadith indicating that a husband can wash his wife, and a wife can wash her husband. Okay, now that's the only exception. Then, a woman can also wash a boy that is less than 7 years old. Okay, likewise a man can wash a girl that is less than 7 years old, because they are small children, they don't have any, their body is not going to be entire in any way. Okay, so that is it. So apart from that, man should wash man, woman should wash woman. So Umm Atiyah was one washing, she and other women were the one washing the daughter of the Prophet. Right? She said, the Prophet came to us while we were washing his daughter. Which of the Prophet's daughter? Many of the commentators, many of the surah, those who comment, wrote commentaries on this hadith, said the daughter in particular was Zainab. Okay, the daughter of the Prophet in question here was Zainab. She was the husband, she was the wife to somebody called Abu al-Aas. Okay, and she died at the beginning of the 8th year after Hijrah. That was when she died. Okay, at the beginning of the 8th year after Hijrah, that was when she died. And so they washed her. Of course, we all know that all the children of the Prophet died during his lifetime, except who? Except Fatima. And even Fatima, she died just 6 months after the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they washed Zainab. Okay, the daughter of the Prophet. Fakala. So the Prophet said to them, "Ihsilnaha salatan." You see, when you want to, the Prophet said, wash her 3 times, or 5 times, or 5 times, or akthar min dhalika, or more than that. Let's go back to the beginning. If you want to wash a dead body, okay, we will lie the dead body on the ground, on a clean surface, okay? Like we said, we will cover the private part, then we will remove the clothes. When you remove the clothes, okay, the next thing you do is what? You press the stomach. Okay, you press the stomach. Preferably, you can lift. Somebody can put. You can put your hand behind the neck, raise him up. Then use your other hand to press the stomach. That way, if there's urine in his body or feces, it will come out. You understand? It will come out. So you press his body very well and let all those things come out of his body. Then you lie him down again. Okay, lie down again. Now you are now set to wash. You need water, okay, preferably warm water. Okay, warm water. You need hand gloves. Okay, don't put your hands on the body. You need hand gloves. Then you need something like wool. Okay, we need wool. What do you need wool for? Because you are going to perform ablution on the person. And when perform ablution on the person, you cannot put water in his mouth. Because it's there. If you put water in water, water cannot come out again. Okay? So you need to put wool in water and you need to rub his teeth and also put in his nose. Now, so those are the items that you need. Then you need water, like I said. Then you need sidrin. Okay, because Quran says, bima'in wa sidrin. You should wash her with water and sidrin. Sidrin is lotus leaf. This lotus leaf, there is the fresh one and there is the dry one that has been grounded. Okay, so if it is whichever one you have, no problem. If it is a fresh one, just put dip it inside the water. And if it is a dry one that has been grounded, you fetch and pour inside the water. Okay, you fetch and pour inside the water. The essence of it is that it makes the water to become foamy. Alright, so it washes the body better. You know, some people may die and you have a lot of dirt on their body. Okay, maybe accident. Maybe it must have rolled inside the bush or inside on the sand or whatever. Or somebody has been sick, maybe he didn't even take his bath for a day, alright, because of the sickness. So you need to, you know, really wash the body very well to make it clean. So that's why you need seed. And also seed is very good for the body because it makes the body to be strong. The flesh, it makes the flesh to be strong. So it do not start decaying on time while you bury the dead body. That's also why we need camphor. Okay? So we now add that seed to the water. Okay? Then we start with by washing the private part. Like I said, you press, okay, so that all those things will come out. So when they come out, then you start by washing the private part. And when you wash the private part, the next thing is you perform ablution for the dead body. Okay, you wash his hands, you scrub his mouth, the nose, the face, the hands, the head, and the feet. Full normal ablution. Okay, when you do that, then the next thing is you now wash his head. You see, it's just the same thing as Ghusl Janaba. Alright, just the same thing as Ghusl Janaba. So, you wash the head three times, you pour water and wash the head three times. Then you now pour water on the right side. Like I said, it says, Ibdana Bimaya Minha. Alright, so you now pour water on the right side. You know, the dead body is lying down on its back, facing up. So when you pour water, you wash this side, okay, to the leg. Then you have to lift him up a little bit to be able to wash the back. Do you understand? So you wash one side of the back, then you will lie him down again. Then you now wash the left side, the top, then you lift him again. That's why one person cannot wash the dead body. You need like two or three people. You know, the dead body, complete, nothing is alive in his body again. So, you know, I remember what there was a time we were taking a dead body. I was holding the head. You know, as I was holding the head, somebody said, I said, take this thing for me. I left the head, I wanted to go and pick it. The head just fell down on the ground. It cannot hold, nothing will stay again. Any part you leave, it's like that part before. May Allah help us or not. It's interesting for us to watch that because you see the end result of human beings. All this arrogance, all this display, you see the final end, how human being looks like. Human being is something of pity when you see the dead body. So you raise him again, okay, then you wash the back, then you lie him down, okay. So when you do this, you have washed the dead body once. Do you understand? And that is what is obligated, to wash it once. Now when the Prophet said to this woman, they should wash her three times, you know, the second, third time are all mustahab, okay, depending on the nature of the washing. If there is need, that's why he said, Inna aytunna dhali, if you see the need for that, okay. So when you do this, you have done the first washing, then you go back again. Now the second one, I don't need to repeat this ablution and this side washing again. No, you just pour water, okay, pour the water and still wash from head to toe. That's the second one. Then in the third one, if we are going to stop at three, it is this third one. We need clean water now. We can't squeeze it again. Clean water now, that is the one we now add camphor in it. You know that camphor, that white thing. We add camphor. The essence of adding camphor is that number one, it has scent, isn't it? It has scent. Then number two, it keeps away insects inside the ground. Okay, so when the person is buried and there's that camphor on the body, it will keep away insects. So insects will not be able to eat the body on time. Okay, and then it also makes the skin to be strong. Okay, so those are the reasons. Those are the benefits of adding that camphor to the water. So it is this last, if we are stopping at three, it is that last one that we add camphor. And if we are stopping at five, the fifth one will be the one that we add camphor. And if we are going beyond that, in another direction, it says, I will stop at. In any case, it should be odd number with you. Okay, it's expected to be with you. So if we are not stopping at three, then we'll go to five. If we are not stopping at five, then we'll go to seven. Many scholars of fiqh dislike going beyond seven. Alright, the first one, whatever the case, seven should be enough. Okay? But the hadith is open. It says in Ra'aytunna Zali. Otherwise, most of the fuqaha said that it should be limited to seven. Okay, so that is how you wash the dead body from the beginning to the end. Okay. Now as for women, okay, it is sunnah, okay, but not obligated that we braid the hair. Okay, we braid the hair three parts. Okay, but you know this we are Arab, their hair were usually left loose. They are not like a woman that will place our hair. Alright, so that's why to leave it loose and it's long, it's going to look somehow. So that's why they used to braid it three. okay, but our women, their hair are already braided. So if we can lose it and do it straight, it's sooner. Otherwise, if it's going to cause difficulty and delay time, we leave it like that. It's not a problem. Likewise, for the man, it's not a more that we must shave the hair. Alright, it's not a must. Or at least the person's hair as it is. It's also not a more that we must cut the nails. That's something like that. Or at least the nails as it is. Do you understand? You know, somebody once asked me, say a young boy died and he was the bab punk. Say now that he has died, should we bath the punk or we allow him to bury him like that? I said, no, let him go and show the angels the kind of head that he is. Isn't it? Yeah, so let's do that. When he was alive, I was not proud of going around with punk. And let him go so proud to go and show the angels that, see my head, I see the kind of head, what did you? And let him see what to look like there. May Allah protect all of us from this kind of thing. So that is how you wash the dead body. Now, in the hadith, he said, when the Prophet said, the Ummah, when they finished, they informed the Prophet, and he gave them the izar, like I said, hikwa. Hikwa means izar, the wrapper of the Prophet of Islam. This Prophet did, you know, everything associated with the Prophet has blessing. Okay, so that was why the Prophet gave them his rapper that they should shroud his daughter in him. And this is particular and specific to the Prophet alone. You understand? So in our contemporary time, we don't need to go and say, let's go and get one malam rapper to come and wrap anybody that died. Alright, the companion did not do that. Alright, the best person after the Prophet is Abu Bakr. Alright, and during his time, it was never reported that anybody used to go to Abu Bakr and say, give me your rapper, let me use to wrap my dead person. That was not like that. So this is specific to the Prophet alone. You understand? This is specific to the Prophet, you know. So that is how we wash. After washing, we can get another towel to dry his body, right, before shrouding, okay? We dry his body, rub everywhere from head to toe to clean him up properly. Then we take him away from that place, because that place is going to be wet, all right? So we're going to lift him away from that place for the shrouding, okay? Now, how do you shroud a dead body? Let us take the next hadith, then we'll explain how we shroud a dead person. Now, she said, وَعَنْ عَيْشَ رَجَى اللَّهُ تَعَلَىٰ أَنْهَا قَالَتْ عَيْشَ مِنْ أَلَىٰ بِكْبِزْنَهَا said, كُفْتِنَا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ صَلَىٰ وَسَلَمْ فِي ثَلَاثَةِ أَفْوَادٍ Right, that the Prophet was shrouded in three garments, right, three clothes, okay, بِيْذٍ سُحُولِيَّةٍ مِنْ كُرْسُفْ Alright, three garments were deep, white. Suhuliyah means they were Yemeni. They were made, Suhuliyah is a relation to a town called Suhul. Alright, it's a town in Yemen. That's where they used to import white clothes at that time. Alright, Kursuf means cotton. Alright, so white cotton Yemeni clothes. Okay, that means this building, Suhuliyatin means Kursuf. Kursuf is cotton. Okay, so Suhuliyah is a town in Yemen. So, three white garments, pure white, okay? She said, لَيْسَ فِيهَا قَمِيْ There was no shirt in it. وَلَا imama, And there was no turban. Okay? مُتَفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ The hadith is agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. Now, three garments, no clothes, no turban. Okay, this is for a man. So how is it going to look like? Scholars say it is three garments made up of rida, izar, and lifaf. Okay, rida is the upper garment, izar is the lower garment, lower upper, then lifaf is the big one, the large one. Do you understand? So while the person is lying where we have washed him, if this is the place where we want to shroud him, we'll come with the big one first. We'll spread it on the ground, then we'll now come with two small ones. Alright, half from the head, or the, let's say from the neck down, okay? Then from the head to the waist, then from the waist to the leg. So that's two, okay? So we're going to spread those two on the big one. Do you understand? So that by the time you lift the person up from where he's being washed and put him on those three white pieces of clothes, so how are we going to do it now? The upper one, we just take the left side to this side, the other side to this side. So we wrap him from waist up. Then from the waist down again, we do the other one. Then the big one will now be used to wrap him up completely. Do you understand? That big one will have two ropes. Okay, that's rope at the tail at one side of the earth, there's another rope at one side of the earth. So that by the time you wrap it, you will now round him with that rope, okay, and tie it a little bit. But by the time you put him inside the grave, you will lose him. You don't tie somebody like a prisoner inside the grave. So by the time you put him inside the grave, you have to lose him the rope. You understand? You're losing the rope. So that is how we shroud a man. That's how we shroud a man. As for a woman, okay, as for a woman, her own pieces of garment are 5. And for a man, we said what? 3. Okay, but for a woman, it should be 5. This 5 will contain, there is the, what do you call it? The rida, like I said, the upper garment. Then the izar, the lower garment. Okay, then there will be a scarf. Okay, for a woman, okay, there will be a scarf. Then you now have 2 big clothes, okay, so altogether making how many? 5. All right, so you have 2 big lifaf, then we have the izar, you have the rida, then you have the scarf. So that is how we do for a woman. Our people here used to sew clothes, right? That's how. That's how we're doing our own here. No problem, it's okay. It's not a problem, it's okay. But the simplest one is just this one. Because this one is very simple, you don't need anything. Just cut it. And but our people used to do clothes, that clothes, and they don't used to sew it. They'll put, it's just the neck. I mean, there will be rope here that you can tie, huh? Mm-hmm. Then when they're cut again, then they're scalp. They'll look out for the person before the big one. Mm-hmm. No problem, but this is how the prophet's own looks like. Right? Just 3 pieces of garment. And it suffices, okay? It suffices. That's how you do it, inshallah. So we all need to know this thing. Sometimes somebody will die, you see them, people, they also go and call one man. You don't want to talk. No, it's something that everybody should be able to do. Every household will have people who can do it. Alright, you see, the private part of your dead body is your secret. Do you understand? You don't need to be exposing the body of your person to others, to outsiders. Mm-hmm. So we should all know how to do this thing, inshallah. Now, let the next hadith. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال مثال لما توفي عبد الله بن أبي when عبد الله بن أبي died جاء ابنه إلى رسول الله his son came to the messenger of Allah فقال and he said أعطني قميصك give me your shirt his son is telling the prophet أعطني قميصك give me your shirt أكفنه فيه so that I will use it to shroud him he wants the prophet to give him his shirt to shroud his father in it. He said, فَأَعْطَاهُ إِيَّهُ and the Prophet gave him his shirt. Okay, that's the upper, the rida, the upper garment, where he took it off and gave it to him. Mustafa ibn Ali. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul is the leader of the Munafiqun in Medina. Alright, he's the leader of the Munafiqun in Medina. And he died as a Munafiq. But he didn't die as a Muslim. So he's not a Muslim, actually. He's not a Muslim. However, his son was a Muslim. He accepted Islam and he was a righteous Sahaba. Alright? He was a righteous Sahaba. So, the Prophet did this, you know, just to please the son. Otherwise, his father was a great enemy of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He did so many things to sabotage the da'wah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. However, scholars say, the Prophet decided to honor his son and that was why he agreed to give him his shirt. Also, some other scholars say that it was because himself, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, during the Battle of Badr, even though he didn't go for that battle, okay, but after the battle, when the prisoners, when those that were caught as prisoners of war were brought to Medina, among them was the uncle of the Prophet, Al-Abbas. But at that time, he has not accepted Islam yet. But so when he came and he was sitting among the prisoners, he has no shirt on. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul was passing, he saw the uncle of the Prophet sitting on the ground without shirt, and he took his own garment and gave it uncle of the Prophet to put on. Alright, and that's why the Prophet is, you know, paying back kindness with kindness. You understand? So that's how, that's why the Prophet did it. Whichever one, either to honor his son or to pay him back for that kindness that he did to the uncle of the Prophet, Al-Muhim, the Prophet gave his son, his shirt, to shroud his father with it. And the Prophet even went to his grave and supplicated in his on his grave. But immediately Allah revealed verses to prohibit the Prophet from doing that. Allah brought the verse in Surah Tawbah, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا وَلَا تَكُمْ عَلَىٰ كَفْرٍ Okay? And that's why if a non-Muslim dies, we cannot supplicate for him. We cannot say, may he so rest in peace. We cannot say something like that. But you can say good things You can say things that will be pleasing to his family. You can pray for his family. Say, may God comfort you people. All right, accept my condolence. You know, this is a great law. Say sweet things to comfort their family. Don't say bad things, okay? But to pray directly for death, we cannot do that, right? Because they did not die as Muslim. Allah says, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحْدِ مِنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا. Okay. Likewise, we can visit them, okay, but we don't follow them to interment. That's to the grave where they're going to put dead body inside the grave. Because Allah says, "Wala taqum ala kabri." Don't stand on the grave, okay. But we can visit them later in their home. We commiserate with them. If you have food, if you have anything, you give them. All right. Islam encourages us to be kind to non-Muslims. You understand? No. This shirt that the Prophet gave to his son, many scholars of the opinion that the son actually used it to wrap his body after he was originally shrouded in their own clothes, okay? And after he was shrouded, then he now used the garment of the Prophet to still cover him up and then put him inside the grave. But that would not benefit him anything because he died as a non-Muslim. No, he died as a non-Muslim. Then the next hadith, وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, the Prophet said, ألبسوا من ثيابكم البياض. The Prophet said that wear white clothes. Alright, the Prophet is encouraging us to always put on white clothes. Said, فإنها من خير ثيابكم, because it is the best of your clothes. وكفنوا فيها موتاكم, and shroud your dead in it. Okay, now shroud your dead ones in it. So this shows that white clothes are special in Islam. Okay, it's one of our best clothes. So on Salah day, on whatever, you can put on white clothes. Okay, it's very good if you have. Right, but specifically even Hajar brought it because of the lack of wakaf finuziha mutaqim. So the coffin, alright, the shroud should be white. Okay, ordinarily it should be white, except where there is no white. Then we can now use another color or whatever is available. Okay, as we shall come to see later before the end of this chapter, you see that those who died during the battle of Uhud, alright, the Prophet just shrouded them whatever was available. Okay, and some people, the garment was not even enough. Some, you have to cover the head and leave the leg exposed. So at that time, that was a very difficult time. So you shroud with whatever you have. But ordinarily, if you have, then you are supposed to use white. Okay, so the shroud should be white. Now, رواه الخمسة إلا النسائي وصححه الترمذي. نعم. وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال بسيد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا كفن أحدكم أخاه فليحسن كفنه. The Prophet, when one of you shroud his fellow brother, then let him shroud him with the best shroud. Let him perfect the shroud. فليحسن كفنه. He should perfect the shrouding. What that means is that let the shroud, the garment, be wide enough to cover his entire body. Then it should be white, it should be clean. Okay? So that would mean by it should perfect the shrouding. Let it be enough, let it be white, and let it be clean. Now, وَعَنْهُ also from Jabir, he said, قَالَ كَانَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَجْمَعُ بَيْنَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ مِنْ قَتْلَ أُحُدٍ فِي ثَوْبٍ وَاحِدٍ. Jabir said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to combine between two people among those that were killed during the battle of Uhud. Used to combine two bithawb wahid in one cloth, in one garment. Thumma yaqulu, then he will say, ayyuhum aktharu akhdan lil Quran, who among them has more knowledge of the Quran. He say, for yuqaddimuhu fil lahad, then that person, the one that has more knowledge of the Quran, will be placed first inside the grave. He say, walam yughassalu, those people who died in the battle of Uhud, they were not washed. وَلَمْ يُصَلَّ عَلَيْهِمْ, and no funeral prayer was offered for them. رواه البخاري. Here, this first part of the hadith, scholars interpreted in two ways. When he said, before you to combine two dead bodies in one garment. What does that mean? Okay, some scholars say that what that means was that they would get a garment that will be sufficient for one person, then tear it into two and use half for two people. Not that two bodies are combined and wrapped under one cloth. Do we understand? That was how some of the commentators interpreted this hadith. While others say no, what it means that they were combined together and wrapped together. Okay? Whichever one, this what happened during the battle of Uhud was a period of necessity. Alright, our 70 companions were killed. So you can just imagine the companions coming down from the mountain of Uhud after the Kufar, the Quraysh have left, and you meet 70 dead bodies. And you have to bury them. Don't forget they were defeated, isn't it? They have sustained injuries, they were tired. Do you understand? So it was indeed a very difficult period for the companions. So it either we say that the Prophet used to use one garment for the garment that would be enough for one person and divide it into two and use it to shroud two separate people, or that he combined two people and wrapped them under one garment, whichever one. Then he used to say, Ayyuhum akthar akhdhan min Quran. Who among them, these two people, has more knowledge of the Quran? Say, for yuqaddimuhum fi lahad. That person will place first inside the grave. The type of grave that they used to dig in the Arab world is different from our own type here. Like the one we do here is called a shak. The one they do in the Arab world is called a lahad. I'm sure you have all been to the graveyard before. Our own, we first of all dig down, isn't it? Then in the middle, we dig another slim one, isn't it? And the dead body is placed lying on his right side, facing the qibla. That's how we do it. That one is called a shak. The one they do in the Arab world is called a lahad. That one you dig down, then by the side, you now dig inside to the right side, okay, facing the qibla, of course. So when you are burying, you go down to the grave, then you now push the person inside the side of the grave. That's what's called a lahad. Okay? So when they are going to do that, if the person that has more knowledge of the Quran, that will be set inside before the other person will be attached to him, then they will now start covering. Okay? So that was how they buried their people. He said, well, then you got them. They were not washed. These were Messiah. Okay? So they were not washed. And walam yusalla alayhim, and they didn't offer any salatul janaza on them. Why? They were not washed because they had sustained injuries, isn't it? You know, they fight with sword that time. So they had sustained injuries, caught all over their body, blood everywhere. The Prophet said you will be resurrected like that. Okay? On the day of judgment, when you see them, you know that these were the people who died on the battlefield. Alright, the Prophet said that you see the blood on their body. The color is red, the color of blood, but the scent is the scent of musk. Alright, they will be, you know, their body will be scented all over the place on the day of judgment. So that was why they were not washed. Then they did not pray on them. Why? Because when we pray for another, what are we doing? We are asking for forgiveness for the dead body, isn't it? These people, Allah has automatically forgiven them. So they don't need the prayer. Do you understand? Well, that was why you don't offer salatul janaza for them. Now, this ruling is for those who died on the battlefield. I'm saying this because you have several ahadith mentioning other categories of martyrs. These are not the only category of martyrs that we have in Islam. Alright, in other hadith, the Prophet said, whoever dies in fire outbreak, it's a martyr. Whoever dies drowning in the river, it's a martyr, isn't it? A woman who died in labor, she's a martyr, isn't it? Somebody who died of stomach pain, it's a martyr. Somebody who died as a result of one house fall on somebody and he died, his person is a martyr. You know, in other hadith, he said, if you die fighting to protect your wealth, man qatala duna malihi fahuwa shaheed. And somebody still comes to your house and say, give me your money, sir, I don't give you. And you are fighting him and he shoots you. You are a martyr. You understand? Or somebody dies protecting his family, the honor. If someone wants to rape your wife, you say no. And you fight the person and he kills you. You are a martyr. Al-Muhim, there are several categories of martyrs. These ones, they are martyrs in reward. Alright? But you don't give them this treatment. Okay? This particular treatment is for those who die on the battlefield. Are we together?
No.
This treatment is for those who die. It's not there. Look there. So this treatment is for those who died on the battle. So let us take note of that now. When Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu qala, he said, سَمِعْتُ نَبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَمْ يَقُولُ. He said, I heard the messenger of Allah saying, لَا تَغَالُوا فِي الْكَفَنِ. He said, do not be extravagant in shrouding. فَإِنَّهُ يُطْلَبُ سَرِيعًا. Because the shroud is destroyed quickly. You know, when you bury the person, after a few days, the earth will eat up that white clothes. So we do not need to be extravagant. Don't go and buy very expensive material. But that will be waste. unlike unbelievers who put on, you know, the best of clothes, the best of jewelry and whatever, they are wearing their dress code like that. This is a waste of money. Right. That's useless. Okay? Right. So you don't go extravagant in the alkafa. It should be simple white clothes. Alright? Mm. Whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whatever your status, right? It should be simple white clothes. Because it's nothing. No. Then the next hadith of Aisha. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لها عائشة said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to her لو مت قبلي لغسلت the Prophet said to her if you happen to die before me I will be going to wash you. Okay, so that was how we said that a husband can wash his wife. Alright, Al-Hadith. Okay, رواه أحمد بن ماجة وصححه ابن حبان. Okay, so a husband can wash his wife. Also look at next hadith. One Asma bint Umayr. Alright, Asma bint Umayr. This Asma bint Umayr is the wife of who? Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. رضي الله تعالى عنها. أن فاطمة, she said, فاطمة, the daughter of the Prophet. رضي الله تعالى عنها. أوصت أن يغسلها علي. رضي الله تعالى عنه. She did wasiya that when she died, who will wash her? Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That is her husband. Okay? Now, she said, when I die, my husband should be the person that will wash me. That was her wasiya. And like we said, she died 6 months after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, a husband can wash his wife. This Asma came to Umayr. Alright? She was the one who washed her husband too. Okay, when Abu Bakr was about to die, he also did wasiya that when I die, my wife, Asma bint Umayr, should be the one that will wash me. Right? And she was the one who washed Abu Bakr, right? With the help of another companion, Abdurrahman bin Awf. Right? So, because a woman, she cannot do that job alone. Okay, but she did it in conjunction with another companion. Okay, so like we said, a husband can wash a wife, and a wife can wash a husband, inshallah. وعن بريدة رضي الله تعالى عنه بريدة من علم الاسلام said في قصة الغامدية concerning the story of الغامدية. الغامدية is a woman or that woman, you know that story of that woman who committed zina, alright, and she was pregnant and she came and said I have committed zina, O Prophet of Allah, purify me. And the Prophet said go until you give birth. You know that story, right? She went, she gave birth, she came with the baby that has given birth. Purify me, meaning, you know, give me the punishment. That's stoned to death. The Prophet said, you are still breastfeeding. Go and breastfeed. Alright, until you are mean the baby. The baby can eat. She came back with the baby with a piece of bread in the hand of the baby and said, the baby can now eat alone. Okay, so give me the punishment. Before the Prophet now gave her the punishment of stoned to death. Okay, now, when she was stoned to death and she died, she said in this hadith, Buraida said, "Allati amara Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam bi rajmiha fi zina." That was the woman that the Prophet ordered that she should be stoned when she committed adultery. Qala, he said, "Thumma amara biha." Then the Prophet ordered that they should bring her body. Fasalla alayha. The Prophet offered the funeral prayer upon her. Wa dufina. Then she was buried. Okay? This hadith is trying to tell us that if a person dies from had, that is punishment, okay, we can still offer prayer on that person. Okay, so if a person commits adultery and is stoned to death, or kifa, you kill somebody and you are also killed now, okay, we can still perform salat al-janai on that person. Okay, the Prophet usually performs salat al-janai on any Muslim, right? Irrespective of whatever person died committing sin. Okay, you can see the Ghamidiyah committed zina. Alright, yes, the Prophet offered funeral prayer. But in the case of the Ghamidiyah, you know, the Prophet said that she has repented. In fact, he said she has repented a kind of repentance that if it was to be distributed among the people of Medina, it would be sufficient for them. Okay? Now, why are we saying this? Scholars differentiate between a sinner who has repented, okay, and a sinner who has not repented. He's still a Muslim, but he did not repent. He died as a notorious criminal. That kind of person, Muslims will still offer prayers upon him or her, but it should not be the imam. It should not be people of honor. It should be just any other people in the street. Do you understand? To serve as a lesson to him and others of his side. Do you understand? Now, so that is it. Okay? Like sometimes, recently, there was a story of somebody that said he died committing zina. Died on top of the woman. And that's a very bad way to end life. May Allah protect us. Alright? That kind of person, you cannot expect you to go and bring an imam or a people of honor to come and pray over that person. Okay? But he's still a Muslim. Okay? But we allow just any other people to pray on him and go and bury him like that. Look at the next hadith. He said, وَعَنْ جَابِرْ بِنُ سَمْرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَنْهُ قَالَ He said, أُوْتِيَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِرَجُلٍ قَتَلَ نَفْسَهُ بِمَشَاقِهِ They brought a man to the Prophet who killed himself using mashaqiq. Mashaqiq is a broad-headed arrow. Okay, the man used a broad-headed arrow to kill himself. He said, فَلَمْ يُصَلِّ عَلِيْهِ The Prophet refused to pray on him. Alright, because in Islam, suicide is haram. You don't take your soul. Your soul does not belong to you. Okay, so it's haram to kill yourself. So, because of that, the gravity of that thing, when they brought the man to the Prophet refused to pray. But he still commanded them that they should get people around to pray on that person. Okay? So, we don't bring an imam or any great scholar or people of honor to come and offer prayer on that kind of a person. We just get people around to pray over him. And so, it will serve as a warning to others. So, based on this, we can say that there were two categories of people that the Prophet refused to pray upon. Alright, one is this hadith that was just mentioned, as somebody who committed suicide. The other one was the first hadith we read at the beginning. Okay, maybe I made a reference to it, but Ibn Ahmed is not related. As somebody who died with death on him. Alright, somebody usually, when he asks, is he in debt like the prayers, to say, Sallu ala fahidikum, go and pray on your person. So if the person is injected, the Prophet usually refuses to pray. Except if somebody comes forward and says, I will take responsibility of that death. Then the Prophet will not step forward and offer the prayer. No. So these are the two categories. Otherwise, anybody who dies, so long as the person dies as a Muslim, we should all come together to offer the funeral prayer on that person. Then the next hadith, one Abi Huraira. Okay, let's talk to this one. Then before, so. One Abi Huraira, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. في قصة المرأة التي كانت تقوم المسجد. نعم. أبو هريرة reported concerning the story of a woman, the woman who used to clean the mosque. That was a woman who used to help the Prophet to sweep the Prophet mosque. So when she died, قال he said, فسأل عنها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet asked about her. You know, it's like the Prophet came around and he noticed that he did not see her. She didn't clean the mosque. So he asked, what happened to her? So قالوا they said, ما said. She died. She died the previous night, actually. In our narration, it was the previous night she died. فَقَالَ The Prophet said, أَفَلَا كُنْتُمْ أَذَنْتُمُونِ Why didn't you inform me? It was in the night she died. Alright, and once she died, the companions just, they felt, this one is, an insignificant person. They felt, we don't need to go and disturb the Prophet. Let us just prepare her and do Salat Janaza on her and bury her. So, they did not inform the Prophet. And that's why the Prophet said, أَفَلَا كُنْتُمْ أَذَنْتُمُونِ Why didn't you inform me? He says, فَكَأَنَّهُمْ صَدَّرُوا أَمْرَهَا Just like, I think they underrated her affair. Alright, they felt she was of no significant status. فَقَالَ The Prophet now said, دَلُّونِي عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهَا Show me her grave. فَدَلُّونِ So they showed him her grave. They said, فَصَلَّى عَلَيْهَا Alright, the Prophet now prayed on her while she has already been buried. Alright, she has already been buried, but the Prophet stood beside her graveyard and did the fourth takbirah and prayed upon her. Okay, so it is permissible after a person has been buried, you can still go and stand by the graveyard of that person and offer the funeral prayer on the grave. This is an exception to the general rule that we do not offer prayers inside the graveyard. Do you understand? Ordinarily, Prophet now to sallu ila al-qubur. Alright, we don't pray facing the graveyard and you don't pray inside it as well, as the Prophet is already. So, but this situation is an exception to that general rule. Okay? So you can go and stand by the graveyard of the person and offer funeral prayer on that person. Whether, in this case, the companions did, it's not because it's not good. No, they did, yet the Prophet wanted to do his own. Okay? So it's allowed. He said, was that a Muslim? In the narration of Imam Muslim, Imam Muslim added, Summa qala, the Prophet said, Inna hadihi al-qubur mamnu'atun zulmatan ala ahliha. The Prophet said, this graveyard that you have seen is filled with darkness upon the people in it. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُنَوِّرُهَا لَهُمْ بِصَلَاتِ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will illuminate his life for them because of my supplication. Okay, now, so the graveyard is still, is full of darkness. Okay, but when you supplicate, alright, it can serve as source of light to the people inside the graveyard. And that was why the Prophet went to offer that prayer on the altar. Now the question is, what is the time frame for offering prayer on the graveyard? Do you understand? Meaning, can somebody who died, let's say, 10 years ago, if you can identify the graveyard, can you still go and stand there and still offer prayer on that graveyard? Or there is a time frame. Here, the fuqaha differ. Okay, the fuqaha differ. Some say it should be between 1 to 3 days. Right? Some say 1 week. But there's plenty of hadith to say 2 to 3 days or 1 week, or something like that. Some say 1 month. Okay, those who say 1 month use the hadith of, there's a hadith of another companion called Al-Bara bin Ma'ruf. Alright, Al-Bara bin Ma'ruf was a companion, was among those who came to Makkah to invite the Prophet to migrate to Medina. Alright, he was among Ahlul Bay'ah. But before the Prophet migrated to Medina, he had already died. Do you understand? That's a companion. It's called Al-Bara bin Ma'ruf. Alright, in the narration it was narrated that before he died a month before the Prophet arrived Medina, after his migration. So when the Prophet arrived, he greeted everybody. He noticed that this particular companion was not there, and he asked, where is he? And he said, he died a month ago. He said, where is his grave? They showed him his grave, and he still went and offered Salat al-Janaza on the grave. That was a month interval. So some fuqaha say that 1 month at most. Okay, but like I said, the hadith is not indicate anything. This is just an inference. Now, this is just an inference. Alakulina, some of us scholars say that it should not be as long enough to indicate that the dead body, the body inside will have decomposed completely. Alright, because if there is no dead body inside, then you go and find out who are you praying to? That's what they say. Okay? So some scholars say 1 month at most. 1 month, Allah knows best. Another lesson to learn from this hadith is that don't underrate anybody. Isn't it? Yes. The companion of this woman is a nobody, she doesn't have any status, so don't need to go and discuss the Prophet. But the Prophet of Islam is somebody who gives honor to everybody. Right? The Prophet does not underrate anybody. And that was why, despite that he's just an ordinary woman who saved the mosque, the Prophet went and offered prayer on her graveyard. Inshallah, we'll stop here. Whatever was said, I described in Allah, the word of whatever was wrong, may Allah forgive us, and 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 may Allah forgive us.